Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us here on SJS. And when we get to Friday, that means Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Oh, boy, with the draft going on tonight, need beverages. Draft going on tonight, need snacks. Pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, the hotline open at 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Located 7 miles south of Seals Grove, Routes 11 and 15. And, of course, I'm safely ensconced and privately ensconced in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Love Hummel's Wharf. All right, the draft last night, round one, we're going to run it down for you. We're going to bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, get the Steeler take on round one, and also what the Steelers might be thinking about in rounds two and three. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up in just a few minutes. But before we get there, time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report scheduled for today. And also, I don't know, how would you like to have Jordan Hill on?
All right.
You, of course, are bitter today.
No, I'm not bitter at all. What makes you think I'd be bitter?
Okay, you're bitter in two areas, okay?
Oh, please tell me why I'm bitter in two areas.
You're bitter in two areas.
Okay.
You're bitter because the Steelers didn't draft the guy you wanted, and you're bitter that I got it right.
No, I expect you to get it right. Okay, simple as that. I expect you to get it right. Now, did they draft the guy I wanted? Not yet. But there's still plenty of time.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Who? Who do you want?
Nobody drafted any. I want a quarterback that I feel confident could be a backup and maybe move into the starting role eventually.
That's not going to happen until Saturday.
I know that. And I don't want that in the first round. I don't even want it in the second round. I want him to pick in the third round, then maybe. So maybe late tonight would be fine. Because both rounds are tonight, right? Yeah.
Only, look, if I'm sitting there and I'm the Steelers and I'm in the third round and, for example, let's take Matt Barkley. I don't think this is going to happen, but say Matt Barkley is available in the third round.
Okay.
All right. I would do that.
I'm fine. Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's a first or second round pick. I do think it's a third round pick for the Steelers, assuming there's one available that you feel comfortable with. Now, the way it looks right now, I feel comfortable with the fact that it might be a quarterback around in the second round. Do I think it's going to be Geno? No. Would I draft him anyway? I don't know. But what does it say, though, when your former college coach picks a guy that was probably third or fourth on the list in EJ Manuel over you? That's slightly insulting.
No, I have a theory on that.
Okay.
Okay. Unless you were Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL and then taking Andrew Luck with you with the first overall pick, or if you were Art Briles, Baylor, going to the NFL with RG3. All right. Two guys that going into last year's draft, people had tremendous confidence in. All right.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. They probably would do that if they needed a quarterback. I think you run a tremendous risk in drafting somebody to be your quarterback that you are so closely associated with, that you're too linked to that individual, where if he doesn't develop, doesn't do well, whatever, it then personally costs you. I think you get more leeway from the fans if you go in a different direction. I also think that he also knows that Ryan Nassib cannot run the read option. All right. So they want to run an element that goes with the read option in Buffalo, especially when you have a guy like C.J. Spiller as your running back. This guy is a big guy, about 6'4", and a half, 6'5", big arm, doesn't always make the right read, does make mistakes along the way, no question. But he also is a guy that can run the read option if you need it, and is capable of big plays in the passing game, because I think it. And the other part, too, is I thought of all the quarterbacks, he's the one that looked great in the All-Star games. He was the best-looking quarterback of any of the quarterbacks in the All-Star games.
Well, the Bills agreed.
I mean, I'm talking like no doubt he was the best-looking quarterback among the quarterbacks in the All-Star games. I mean, Barkley didn't participate. Geno Smith, whatever. Nassib was okay.
Smith, whatever.
Well, I mean, what did he do?
No, I agree. I just thought it was funny the way Geno Smith, whatever.
Whatever. I mean, the one thing about Geno Smith is you get a lot of whatevers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really, you with Geno Smith, you get a lot of, he's fine, yeah, whatever. There's nobody that sits there. Now, the interesting is Dana Holgorsen has a great offense. And this guy did a great job of running that offense. And if they had been able to somehow keep up the pace that they had early in the season, he'd have been probably one of the top three guys picked last night. There have been people trading up to try and get him. The bottom line is, in the last seven games of the year, exactly how good were they? I mean, Buffalo, I'm sure, looked at him, and I'm sure, look, that's the other part, too, is Doug Marrone had to game plan for Geno Smith. He picked E.J. Manuel. What does that tell you?
Well, you know, I'm not, I thought that Manuel was the pick that surprised me at 16.
Oh, it surprised everybody. Yeah. Except for the guys that made the pick.
Well, did you see that? And then they show NFL Network showed a shot of Buffalo fans, and they were like, "What?" It was like, can somebody hit rewind? I want to make sure I heard that right.
We did. Well, we picked who?
Well, who? I don't remember him talking about that. But Jarvis Jones is fine. I'm a little worried about, you know, for the Steelers. Jarvis Jones is fine. It fills a need. He was available. Look, that's fine.
Look. You want to know what I like in a draft choice?
What do you like in a draft choice?
I like proven commodities. You would be shocked. Okay? Shocked. Let's just take a simple thing like who would be among the top five in the nation in sacks. Over the last 20 years, guys that were in the top five in the nation in sacks, stunningly, are the same names that have shown up as the top five in sacks over the last 20 years in the NFL. You'd be shocked. Same names. They weren't the highest guys picked. Other guys with potential and upside were picked. To me, production means a lot on the college level. The other part that means a lot to me is production in a BCS level means a lot to me. Jarvis Jones went out, along with Ogletree, for that matter, Georgia, and they were doing it week in and week out against Florida, Alabama.
Some quality.
LSU. Okay, that's who they played. You notice when it came time for Eric Fisher, what two games did they keep referencing for Eric Fisher, the first overall pick of the draft? How well he played against Iowa and Michigan State. Well, first of all, I can tell you, Iowa's not the best team in this conference. And they don't have the best defensive front in this conference. I saw Penn State carve them up for 38 points and do it easy. Okay? Michigan State is a very good team, but last year was not a great Michigan State team. It was only a good Michigan State team last year, not a great one. And they kept talking about those two games repeatedly. Me, if I'm selecting, Luke Jokel is the guy I pick. Why? Well, I don't know. In the Big 12, which is a high-end conference that includes the likes of Oklahoma, Texas, people like that, he was pretty good. Then they went to the SEC, LSU, Alabama, people like that, where he was terrific. When you're doing that on an every week basis, that shows me high end and it shows me consistency and playing against comparable talent. Jarvis Jones, and I'll say this, and as you know, Lane Johnson was the guy that I said yesterday the Eagles would pick.
Right.
Right? Same thing. Playing in a high level all the time in an offense that moved. I'll tell you who's going to be. I'll tell you right now, if I'm the Steelers and this guy's around in round four, you know who I pick?
Who?
Landry Jones of Oklahoma.
I don't know if he'll be around that far, but.
Why? Every quarterback except for one's available now.
I think you're going to see a rush on quarterbacks starting tonight right around 6:10.
Well, I think you're going to see Jacksonville pick one.
Right.
I mean, there's certain teams that need quarterbacks. I mean, you're going to tell me Blake Gabbert and Jake Locker and Brandon Whedon excite the populace? Really? Really? Landry Jones is rated like the, fifth or sixth quarterback in this draft. You put him in the pocket, the guy can throw.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Rounds 2 and 3 of the draft tonight. Starting at 6:30. Steelers draft 48. Eagles draft before then. You listened to the show yesterday. We did our mock draft, and I had the Eagles' choice and the Steelers' choice, much to your chagrin.
Again, I've come to expect it. I'm disappointed when you're wrong.
Well, I don't know if I'm right. I mean, I'm right as to who they picked. I don't know if they're right as to whether it's the right pick. We'll have to take 5 years to find out.
I was going
to
say, you can't decide that for a while. But right. Real quick, you and I were just talking about it. I thought one of the funniest parts of the night, if you were watching NFL Network last night, was Mayock getting really ticked off about the fact that every time he turned around, Rich Eisen would be talking about how far Manti Te'o's dropped.
Yeah, some of you may be getting sick and tired of I was talking about Manti Te'o, and then Mike Mayock said, include some of us on the set.
That was the best.
Like, okay. And Mayock does Notre Dame football on TV. So he's around the guy all the time. All right. Jordan Hill will join us at 4:06. Talk about what his day has been like and what he's thinking about tonight. He will join us at 4:06. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And, Tony, I know we've talked about our mock drafts. I had Jarvis Jones on the board. So did you. What is the reaction to Pittsburgh with the pick?
Well, I can tell you that you and I are on the same page. I've liked Jarvis Jones to Pittsburgh for quite some time now. There is a little bit of concern in the media. I think fans are pretty happy, especially based on the reaction from Kevin Colbert and from Mike Tomlin. It was very similar to their reaction last year when they got David DeCastro, and that was they were thrilled, you know, that this guy fell into their lap, and that was really how they looked at it. The Steelers have always been a team that drafts, you know, based on performance, and they extrapolate that out. You know, that's how sort of they do their analysis, and based on performance, boy, it's tough to find a player in college football who was a better defensive player last season. I mean, you know, you talk about Manti Te'o all you want, and you can talk about Jadeveon Clowney, but, boy, Jarvis Jones just made play after play after play in a great conference week after week after week for the past two seasons, and I know the Steelers are thrilled about that. He played in a very similar system, and it seems like this is a guy who, you know, I'm not going to say they can plug him in because that doesn't happen on Pittsburgh's defense under Dick LeBeau too often, but I think he can help right away, and I know they're very excited about that. They have plenty of needs, Steve, but they certainly got one addressed with the number 17 pick last night.
Agreed, Tony, and we'll see how it plays out, but my initial read is the same as yours. I think that's the right guy at the right moment for the right team. Now they go next at 48 tonight. A lot of people want to know what the lean is. Now, obviously, some of this is going to depend on what happens between 33 and 47, but what is the lean at 48 if things were to fall right?
You know, there's a lot of safeties left in this draft that can help, and the Steelers certainly have targeted safety as a position of need. They brought in several guys to work out. You know, receiver, I think, is clearly a position of need as well. So to me, those are the two that kind of jump off the page as things that they should be addressing Friday night. Running back, something tells me that's something that'll get addressed at some point in this draft. I don't know if it'll be tonight. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Cornerback is also another need. But, Steve, one thing that jumps out at me, really two things that jump out, I guess, as kind of wild cards, is the tight end position. Right. And perhaps somebody drops to them like a Zach Ertz. I don't think that's going to happen, but if he does, they may have to pull the trigger on somebody like that. And then I think, you know, a developmental or a potential replacement quarterback. I don't know who they like. Some people say they like Tyler Bray in this draft out of
Tennessee. Yeah.
But how long do they wait to find the potential replacement for Ben Roethlisberger? They've put it, you know, that's been a luxury for the past couple of years. At some point, that's no longer a luxury. It's going to become a need.
Right, and I talked about Bray earlier today, and he can be had, I think, on Saturday. I mean, there's not going to be this mystical run on quarterbacks tonight. I mean, the mystical run on quarterbacks tonight is going to be with the guys you expect to be drafted that were thought to be possible first-round picks. That's where the run's going to be.
Yeah, that, you know, I would expect that to be the case as well. And so I would expect that maybe a wide receiver, perhaps like a Keenan Allen, falls to them. If that happens, I think they may have to pull the trigger. And I think there are plenty of safeties in this draft that they can get probably three or four different names that they like that they could probably snag in the second or third round this evening.
There's certain running backs in this draft that I think can be good, productive NFL backs. Le'Veon Bell of Michigan State, Monte Ball, who won't flash and dash you. He'll just keep going forward all the time. Obviously, the wild card is Marcus Lattimore for obvious reasons, but a lot of people have asked about Eddie Lacy. Has anybody in Pittsburgh talked about Eddie Lacy at all?
You know, I think, yes, he certainly has been talked about. I think the prevalent thinking with Lacy was that 17 would be way too early to draft Lacy, but they would have no chance to get him at 48. And I think that's probably the thought right now as well. You know, but again, I don't have any idea how much they like him. Is he a guy that if he's around when 35, 36, 37 comes up, that they may look to jump up? I don't see them moving up only because they have too many needs to fill. And they have brought in some veteran running backs that I think, you know, could fill a hole for a season or two, if they need that to be the case. I would probably expect that Pittsburgh would go after a back on Saturday. I don't know if Bell will last that long. Ball certainly, at least I don't think he will. Bell perhaps, maybe you have a better handle on those two guys than I do, but I would see Ball going before Bell. But Bell is a guy that they've liked. They visited Michigan State a couple of times, whether it's to look at him or Golston, I'm not sure, or perhaps a combination of the two. But I think they do like Bell.
Yeah, and Bell, straight ahead, works the tackles well, athletic enough where he hurdled a couple of guys last year. Not bad. Ball is just a straight ahead, steady run producer, and is not a bad receiver. Not bad at all. Of course, he had that big offensive line to work in front of, but there were so many curveballs last night in the draft, Tony. So many. Geno Smith falling out of it. I'm not surprised Teo did. I mean, that's just the way it is. But when the Cowboys drafted Travis Frederick, whom I like a lot, but whom Jordan Hill destroyed, I kind of looked around and thought to myself, well, that's one less guy for the Steelers to worry about.
Yeah, well, you know, some things that happen during the course of these drafts, you know, sometimes it's no coincidence the teams that win consistently because their general managers are able to make smart decisions year after year. And you know, again, it's tough to draft from the back of the first round, but for some reason it seems like there are some teams and some organizations that are able to do that very, very well. Ozzie Newsome certainly is one with Baltimore, and New England has done that very well. And this is really crunch time right now for the Steelers and Kevin Colbert. You know, let's see how, you know, they're not in the back of the draft right now, but, you know, let's see how these guys can do. Every draft is important, Steve, but something tells me this one, Pittsburgh can't afford to have a whole lot of foul balls here. They need to put a lot of these draft picks into play.
Yeah, it should be pointed out, and something you said about, you know, might they move up to 35, 36. It should be pointed out that's not the Steelers' style. They are not a team, Tony, that moves up the draft.
No, they really have not done that very often at all. I mean, they did it years ago with Troy Polamalu. Right. That worked out pretty well. You know, it seems like they need to know for sure exactly what they're getting when they do that. And Kevin Colbert talked about needing picks. They need draft picks. They need bodies. They need depth. And I think that's what this draft is going to be about, especially tonight. But the thing is, too, I talk about this stuff in terms of depth. It's not going to be very long that depth turns into starters, whether it's this year or next year. It's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, agree with that. Away from the draft for a moment, for Penguin fans, Sidney Crosby's back practicing, I think with a more of a sense of urgency than Derrick Rose.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's a great comparison. And I would place my money on that bet as well. I think there is much more sense of urgency there too. He's got the cage in front of the jaw, and that's certainly going to be very important. I saw a picture of him today on the ice, and it seemed to me that there's a lot of room for a puck to fly up underneath there. But I guess that's hockey. He's not the only guy with steel in his head on the ice, I suppose. But I think his goal is to get back for game one of the playoffs. playoffs. They need him practicing with the team before that happens. He's done that. One game left in the season. I don't see him playing against Carolina on Saturday, but I think he fully expects to play, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday, in the playoff opener against whomever it may be.
Yeah, and that's the next part. Is there a preference on matchup? Because matchups are important. For example, Philadelphia is not in the mix. You know, Philadelphia would be a tough, quote, matchup for them because it's not a comfortable one. What's a comfortable matchup in the opening round for the Penguins?
You know, I think they certainly won't say this, but I think they'd love to get the Ottawa Senators in the first round. Yeah. I think that's a team that Pittsburgh could perhaps overwhelm early on. A team that scares me, you know, would be a team like the Rangers with a great goaltender, a guy that's capable of standing on his head for seven games if he needs to in Henrik Lundqvist.
Right.
And their offense is starting to come together as well. So I think that's a scary matchup.
Tony, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Will do. Looking forward to it, Steve. Thanks.
That's Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Are you feeling better?
I felt fine before, and I agree with him. Picks are important. If you remember, I said that yesterday as well. I said
picks are important.
They need more picks, which is why I was willing to trade that pick.
Look, you can't get more picks. Why do you think the 49ers traded yesterday?
Because they can.
Right, and guess what they jettisoned?
What did they jettison?
Picks. Because you can add, under the new system, you can have too many.
But if you look if you look where the Steelers pick every stinking round, it's 17 or 18. They're in the middle of the round every time.
So what?
Well, I would like to be in, like, I would love to have had an early, if I were the Steelers, I would have loved to have had, or the Eagles for that matter, and they do have an earlier second round pick, especially right now. Because I think there's a lot of really good players out there in the second round.
Well, then you'll get a good one at 48. You're fine. I mean, Don Banks, you know what Don Banks has projected in his for his second round pick for the Steelers?
Who?
Monte Ball.
Interesting.
Good football player.
Interesting.
Interesting, he'd help you.
I'm not debating that. I just said that's interesting.
Monte Ball is a good straight ahead between the tackles, no nonsense running back. Low center of gravity, not easy to bring down, is not a game breaker. He is not going to rip off a 60-yard run. But he's going to average over 5 yards a carry for you. And he's a good receiver out of the backfield.
I like Eddie Lacy, but I don't think he'll be there by that mid-round pick.
Lacy will probably be gone by the time the Bengals pick. I think the Bengals pick 37, don't they? Something like that. The Jets,
Bengals.
The story is the Jets are trying to move up right now in the draft. Why? They want Geno Smith.
Yeah, the Bengals have the 37th pick. You are correct. The Eagles actually are sitting in a really sweet spot right now at the third pick in round two or pick 35 overall.
Eagles will pick a safety, in my opinion. The Eagles will pick a safety at 35. I think Jonathan Cyprian from Florida International would be a really good pick for them at that spot.
I keep hearing people and experts saying, the Eagles may look at a quarterback. I'd be surprised if they look at a quarterback in round two.
No. They will not go for a quarterback in round two.
But Jets have the eighth pick, and you think they're trying to, well, I've heard that too, they're trying to move up.
And they want Geno Smith. They considered Geno Smith with their second pick last night.
Right. I think Jacksonville is going to be, it won't move at all.
Jacksonville's picking a quarterback. I'm very confident of that to start off tonight. Jacksonville has the first pick tonight, and I expect it to be a quarterback. It could be Geno Smith, could be Ryan Nassib.
I'm just trying to think.
Could be Matt Barkley, but Jacksonville, I think, will pick a quarterback. New coach, new offensive coordinator, same old Blaine Gabbert tape.
All right. You're the Jets. All right. Here's who's ahead of you. The Jags, who you think are going to take a quarterback. The 49ers.
Yes.
Do you think they're going to take a quarterback?
Why?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that. I agree. I'm not saying I think they will.
I think the 49ers might go tight end.
Okay. Eagles. I don't think they'll take a quarterback in the second round.
No, they'll take safety. I think the Niners are going to take one of two things. The Niners are either going to take a defensive end, you know, like Margus Hunt, the Estonian who played for SMU. I'd be more comfortable with Tank Carradine of Florida State than him. And I also think maybe Zach Ertz, the tight end from Stanford, is a possibility. I think the Eagles go safety. Jonathan Cyprian from Florida International, I think, would be a perfect guy for them to plug into that spot at 35.
Well, I'm just looking ahead. Like, there's Jacksonville, there's the 49ers, there's Eagles, there's the Lions. I don't see
Lions go up front. I think the Bengals, I think that's where you start worrying about maybe Eddie Lacy going.
Yes.
A wild card is Arizona. Yep. They might take a quarterback to groom.
And what about the Browns?
Well, the Browns aren't there.
No, they had the supplemental. That was their supplemental pick. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah.
They had the seventh pick, but that one skipped now.
Right.
I don't know who the Jets are going to trade with to get them ahead of Cincinnati, because I think Cincinnati and maybe Arizona are the only two.
Detroit.
And they would have to, they'd have to look at Detroit. Because I don't think the Eagles are going to budge.
No.
That's all I was trying to figure out, who the Jets might look to trade with, because I think they're worried about the Bengals and the Cardinals and trying to get ahead of them, and I only see Detroit being the only possibility, right?
Why would they be worried about being in front of the Bengals? Bengals are not taking a quarterback. They've got Andy Dalton. They're worried about Arizona.
All right.
They have to somehow leapfrog Arizona. That's the team that worries them. Arizona's the one you worry about.
You're okay with Andy Dalton?
You got to leapfrog them.
You'd be okay with Andy Dalton?
What's wrong with Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton has stepped in and has played cerebral football from the time he's walked in. Does not make a lot of mistakes. Has been to the playoffs the 2 years he's been the quarterback. Doesn't lose games for you.
All right.
Exactly what is wrong with Andy Dalton? He came into this league mature and ready to play. Right, this is one of those guys who was at a very cerebral level when he entered the NFL. He was cable ready.
He was cable ready.
He was.
He's HD approved.
I mean, cable ready. I mean, you just go in there, boom, hook him in, you're HD, you're set. I mean, he came in like that. I mean, Andy Dalton is not Andrew Luck or RG3.
No, I just don't see him being the guy that leads them.
But leads them what? He's been in the playoffs two straight years.
Okay, that's great.
Explain to me what he's done wrong. I don't think he's done anything wrong except play at, I mean, is he the guy that swings the game dramatically for you? Is he one of the elite quarterbacks in the game? Is he? No. But does he lose any games for you? No. They go 10-6 every year with him.
Yeah.
I think it's a question of surrounding him with some better talent to make him better. That's why an Eddie Lacy draft helps him out. That's why did they get Eifert last night? I'm trying to think. The tight end?
I have to look. I can't remember anymore. Let's see. They got Eifert, the tight end. Yeah, one of the guys I wanted the Steelers to take.
Okay,
yeah.
Now you put Lacy in there. Now you've improved the offense around him to go with a great player in Green. He's not a good player. He's a great player. All right, this guy's a good, rock solid second level quarterback. I mean, why would they want to draft a quarterback? He is a rock solid.
He's solid, okay? I'll give you that. But he's not the Bengals need a player right now that can actually get them somewhere that they haven't been. And that's through a couple of playoff games. And that's where they've been missing. They've been missing somebody that can lead them through a couple of playoff games. Yeah, they'll make the play. They can make the playoffs. That's great. But if you're a Bengals fan right now, you're not happy with making the playoffs anymore.
Yeah, but he's the big reason why they got there. They weren't getting there before he got there.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Okay. He's better than Mark Sanchez, who was a higher pick.
Okay. I mean, you've sold me. I'm not saying he's garbage.
Andy Dalton is not Tom Brady, but I'll tell you right now, he's better than Carson Palmer.
I'm not saying he's garbage. I just don't see him being, a quarterback that wins you a Super Bowl. I just don't.
I think you had to put parts around him. All right. Well, to me, his career, his first 2 years are better than Joe Flacco's first 2 years. And Joe Flacco has had around him Ray Rice. And then they finally added some other parts around him. He had a great tight end, and he had Ray Rice. Then they finally added some wide receivers, some game breakers around him as well. Now, Dalton had the luxury coming in with Green, but now you add in Eifert, another target now that maybe takes pressure off Green. If you add in a running back tonight, you now change the quotient of your offense. Okay? Dalton is solid. He is without question far above a game manager. He is far above a game manager, which Joe Flacco was early in his career. He was more of a game manager. The first 2 years, Andy Dalton has been a level above a game manager. He does not have Flacco's arm, but he does have Flacco's poise, and he certainly has the smarts. And you don't like the fact that you don't have him.
Oh, yeah, I'm upset about that.
No, I mean, you have Roethlisberger, but I'm saying, look, the guy is not bad. Okay? This is not, look, the guy stepped in and started playing ball right away. Like, he was their starter from day one. How many people do that? And he's been in the playoffs two straight years. Now, he's a reason they don't lose games. But he's more than a game manager. I'm not saying he's the second coming of Aaron Rodgers, but he is in that next level of quarterback that's between 7 and 12 in this league. We'll come back. Jordan Hill after the top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.